You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
May I say it's always a pleasure to welcome my old friend Phil Edmonston, Lemonade author. Hello, Phil.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Okay, I'm putting the finishing touches on the Lemonade new car guide. And
One Lebia.
There's so many surprises with it. Every time gas prices go down, the hybrids take a real hit.
Yeah, I bet.
People are not that motivated.
Yeah. All right, but let's talk about the Lemonade laws that are existing in the United States, and we don't have any of that up here in Canada. It's certainly something we could use, isn't it?
Yeah, well, but we don't have it because we're such nice guys. We don't want to rock the boat. I mean, okay, so cars will suddenly accelerate, or they won't stop, or they'll catch on fire over at and the windshield will pop out. These kinds of things.
And the mice will come in your garage and eat the wiring on your car.
You saw that.
We've been talking about that for a long time. Yeah.
Is most bizarre because I thought it was some of the cheaper cars, and then I looked and I see Audis and some of the more expensive Fords. And honestly, it is bizarre. But the thing here is that people ask me, well, why do we need a lemon law? Mm-hmm. Cars are vehicles. SUVs and trucks are much more reliable than they used to be, right, Phil? And it's a yes and a no, because in the late 60s, when I started the Lemonade Guides and the Automobile Protection Association, a consumer group, the biggest problem then was cars rusting out from under you. Rusty Fords. We had campaigns across the country, and we got Ford to clean up its act and give people their money back on a lot of rusty Fords. Now, there's no problem, no serious problems with rust-cankered vehicles. Really, it's much more of a problem with the electronics that are very expensive, the powertrains, the drivetrains, that means the transmissions and engines, so that if you don't have a kind of lemon law out there where after three times they don't fix your problem, you have to assume the cost of fixing that problem elsewhere, if you can get it fixed, because the software oftentimes is proprietary and isn't shared with the independent garages.
Yeah, well, the problem with cars these days, as you say, it's not so much some of the mechanical things, it's the sophisticated computer systems within the cars where if something goes wrong, you may have a heck of a hard time figuring out exactly what it is.
And may the Lord help you if you've got a car from Europe.
Yeah, okay.
and you can't find a dealership who's able to fix it because you have a very restricted area of dealerships that you can use. But overall, lemon laws in Ontario, for example, about 10 years ago, a member of the Ontario legislature, he had a lemon law that is a private member's bill he presented.
It's Rob Sampson. I remember talking to him about it at the time. Yeah.
And I testified in favor of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the House was prorogued for an election, so they never really had a chance to vote on it. Now, I've got a copy of his law, of his proposed law, his bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I'm going to be doing in the next 6 months, I'll be going to the different provinces, hopefully meeting with the premiers or their designated consumer affairs minister, and push this thing. I hope to have a fairly good luck with the, as I did with the class action legislation, which I pushed provincially. This is really a provincial jurisdiction.
Yeah, really, it is, you know? Yeah.
But Ontario was the last to come on board, but British Columbia was the first with class actions, and I think they'll be the first with lemon laws because they have election coming up right now, and they seem to be doing quite well. Nova Scotia, of course, is with the NDP. If you get just a few of the Quebec as well, provinces on board, the other ones just simply clone the same law and put it in. I just saw Singapore. Singapore has passed lemon law legislation. You can't find a government which is more pro-industry, and they decided that that was important for them in automobiles because they do have problems.
Well, that's a big car place, too. Good grief. Everybody drives a big, expensive car in Singapore.
That's right.
Yeah. But you're going to have trouble in Ontario right now. We shut down the legislature, and the premier is packing up his bags to leave. The finance minister says he's going, too, and everybody else. There's not much going on here and won't be for a few months.
Oh, I know, but wait a minute now.
Yeah.
I've got the entire auto show to work with.
I see. You'll be making this point, won't you?
Yeah, all you have to do, honestly, is just to, you know, choose the terrain that you're going to have your battle.
Yeah.
And as much as possible, focus people's attention on this. And actually, as a former member of parliament, it's a win-win position, I see, for politicians as well as bureaucrats. What it does, it doesn't cost anything per se. I mean, you can actually get the vehicle taken back using the small claims court access,
yeah.
Or you don't even have to necessarily use a lawyer. So this is the kind of thing that is, I think, works for everybody.
Well, talk a bit about how they work. So almost all the states in the U.S. have a lemon law, don't they?
Everyone,
totally. All right. Well, how exactly do they work? Just run through how that works so we'll have a better idea of how it would work so nicely for us.
Okay. It's very simple, actually. It evens the playing field in the industry in a sense that the car dealership, if anything is a vehicle is under warranty, that dealership and the manufacturer are jointly responsible to correct the problem that you bring to their attention. After two or three tries,
yeah.
They have to give you your money back for the value of the vehicle, and that's it. They are compelled to do so. So what it does, it puts in their minds that, wow, you know, we've had two chances already. This third chance, if we don't do it right, we're going to have to take it back.
Well, we hear stories like that all the time where somebody goes in and the dealer tries to fix problem A, and then you go away and the problem persists. You come back again. It's a nightmare for a car owner sometimes to get that same problem fixed.
That's right, and that's why when they realize that there is a penalty if they don't do it, I talk off the record to a few of the dealerships. They tell me, Phil, you wouldn't believe it how little support we get from the manufacturer. They say, we sold you the car, now you fix it, you've got all the technicians, we've trained you, and that's it. And many times it is something that they are not able to fix because of the high-tech components involved.
Yeah.
So there are some dealers who are, well, they're not going to say so publicly, but are looking forward to making sure that the manufacturers give them the backup that they require. So three strikes, you're out, you take back the car, you give the customer's money back. Or if it's a safety problem and once or twice they haven't corrected it, then you can have them take back the vehicle. And finally, there's another way you can trigger this, too, and that is if during a certain period of time, let's say during the first 6 months, the car is or the vehicle is out of service and because you keep bringing it back and
right.
forth and they keep looking for it, you can trigger that buyback automatically for that reason as well. And in some jurisdictions, if you have to spend, even while it's under warranty, a certain amount of money to repair it, that can also make the dealer and manufacturer jointly give you your money back. Well, all it does is, if you're looking at the recently workplace sexual harassment laws, you don't see a lot of people going to jail. But what it does put into people's minds, and here in the auto industry, it'll put in their minds that, look, don't even think about it. If the problem is there, fix it,
mm-hmm.
make it right the first time. Even the playing field, and you know what your obligations are, and consumers know what the obligations are, and just fulfill those obligations. Do what you say you're going to do.
Well, especially in this day and age when cars can cost a whole heck of a lot of money. You've got a big investment there in many, many cases, and if you can't get it fixed, I mean, you're totally behind the eight ball. You've paid out all this money, or you're paying it out to a bank or something, and you don't really have access to this great car you thought you were getting.
You're exactly right, and the average price of the automobile transaction right now across Canada is about $31,000. And this is by DeRosier Consultants, automotive consultants out of Ontario. And that's a heck of a lot of money. And honestly, these lemon laws, I haven't really pushed very hard because in the past, I could always find an independent garage to help someone out, or you could always strong arm the companies. You can't do that anymore. As a matter of fact, we in Ontario and the other provinces and federally, we become part owners of these companies. And that's even more reason why we need to have some protection for
that's
people.
Right.
Buying defective merchandise.
But, I mean, it's almost as if the circumstances, you know, Phil, cry out for another law, too. This proprietary software that would mean only a dealer can work on such and such a car, cutting out the perfectly capable and experienced mechanic who can't get his hands on the software, therefore can't fix the car, that's an unfair trade practice as well.
Oh, without a doubt. And from what I'm seeing now, the service independent service organizations have gotten the eye in the ears of the federal government. And I think more and more you're going to see them opening up the whole software question, because if it's not opened up, it's going to be just a simple question of restraint of trade, that you can't get it repaired any other place than at the dealer. And by the way, dealerships, they do a good job, but you want the choice where you can go to an independent garage and probably have most repairs, as I've seen over the years, for about a third less than what it would cost at the dealership. Some things have to be done at the dealership, but a lot of other things don't.
Boy, it's a long way from the days where if you had a screwdriver and a piece of wire, you could probably fix your car.
Wait, it's a long time since we've had carburetors.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Pop the carburetor and see what the heck's going on with that butterfly valve, right?
Yeah, and at the same time, tell me, where did the side vent window go?
Oh, it's I don't know where it went.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't take it.
Yeah, I know. It was a good idea. I guess it was too good an idea. Who knows? Idea of establishing the lemon law and the fact that they're available in every state in the U.S., do you know how often they're actually utilized? How many people actually, use the legislation to get themselves a refund or another car? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. And I want to find out, and that's one of the things that I have to research more. I only did to discover that the automobile manufacturers and the dealers are not saying that this adds to their cost, and, you know, because that's generally a primary reason not to have more protection in some field or another. That it's going to make the car so costly. But actually, the latest studies are showing that Canadian cars without the protection that are built in Canada, sold in Canada, and sold in the States, oftentimes in Canada, we're paying about 20 to 25% more for the vehicle than we should.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that too, don't we?
Yeah, that's why people are voting with their feet, and oftentimes, and by the way, the Federal Ministry of Transport has made it very easy on some of the huge the SUVs, the fully loaded pickups, and some of the exotic sports cars. You can save a lot of money just simply using some of these brokers along our border areas, and they'll do everything for you and charge you a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, in fact, that's a good deal for people who might want to do that with some of these high-end vehicles, right?
Yeah, it's not so much a good deal if you're looking at some of the cheaper Hondas.
No, I get it. Yeah, you know. but the price differential on the expensive ones are really incredible.
Oh yeah, and by the way, many other companies will extend the warranty, there's no problem. Some of the other companies will try to strong-arm you into buying higher in Canada, saying that that you won't have the warranty necessarily. But the simple response to that, of course, is to go across the border and get your warranty repairs if you have to, or buy a vehicle that isn't all that warranty-intensive. That's a pretty good buy in the beginning.
All right. Phil Edmonston is my guest. We're talking about a lemon law for Ontario. Why don't we have one? If you have a lemon parked out in front of your house or in the garage, maybe you could entertain us by telling us how bad that car is as prime living examples of why we might need a lemon law.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, we're here with Phil Edmonston talking about a lemon law for Ontario. Wouldn't it be nice? I guess lemon laws in this country, the auto manufacturers try to fight tooth and nail to keep them out, don't they?
Yeah, they will say we've got arbitration programs with CANVAP and so forth, but the latest from CANVAP is that the Chrysler, for example, has said, well, we don't want to pay some of these, one of these particular judgments because we think you went over your mandate and things like that. But the easiest thing is to go to small claims court, get a good judge who's there, no lawyers, and just expose, just show what happened to you. And these judges, they're fairly smart. Oftentimes, I've seen small claims court judges ask questions not completely related to the case at hand, but only because they were trying to get information on their own car.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about a judge who bought a lemon himself, right?
I know.
Okay. Here, we've got Don on the line from Dunnville. Don, do you have a lemon story yourself?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
My wife has got a 2011 Camaro. Ooh. A convertible, and about a month and a half ago, she went down the highway here in Highway 3.
Yeah,
and she was doing maybe 85 clicks, and all of a sudden the car shut down.
Yeah,
not just like everything locked out.
Yeah,
and it did end up starting afterward, but we've had it back to the dealer three times, and they say, well, we can't find anything. Just take it and drive it.
Yeah, right, until the next time it shuts down, right?
Yeah, and it shuts down on the 400 highways or the Queen E. You are dead.
Phil, I heard you make a noise when Don mentioned the car. Is this problematic with those cars?
It definitely is because of the emission control systems. Look, the average car has over 50 computers, computer modules are regulating different things. And honestly, they are difficult to troubleshoot, but only the dealer can really do it adequately. And usually, if there is a general catch-all law in all the provinces provincially, it says a vehicle or a product should be a merchantable quality, and it should give you a reasonable performance for the reason that you purchased it.
Yeah.
And that's a catch-all kind of protection. But lemon law would just break it down to this, saying, look, you didn't fix it three times.
Yeah, you can have it back.
The consumer. And you know what really is so exasperating is that when you get one of these terrible lemons in your life, it takes over your life. I've seen normally rational, nice people completely go to the other side, and this thing is eating their life, eroding their life too, piece by piece by piece, because you're insulted sometimes, you're talked down to, you don't know how to drive, you don't know how to maintain your car. And all of that is unnecessary.
The same dealer who wanted to terribly to be your friend before you signed up to buy the new car now doesn't know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
That often happens.
You feel like you're dealing with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Well, $5 million. I'll give you $5 million.
Yeah, all right.
Show me the carburetor.
Show me the carburetor for $5 million. Exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, Don, in your case, a lemon law would be absolutely perfect because you could easily demonstrate you keep taking it back to the dealer, and the dealer has no idea why your car occasionally is going into a coma.
That's right. Everything about, well, I found out the dealer is not even getting paid the last couple of times from GM because they say, well, can't find anything wrong with it, so it's okay.
Huh. Well,
they don't worry about you going out on the highway. Now, my wife will not drive it anywhere near a highway. She just gone to Montreal,
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to take the vehicle with her to Montreal.
Yeah.
She ended up taking the train.
But that's ridiculous.
So
you bought.
Camaro.
So that's ridiculous. You've bought this You bought this car new, and you can't drive it.
That's right.
Yeah. Don. Yeah. Go ahead.
I should say that's why these lemon laws have picked up so much steam.
Yeah.
They actually got passed in every one of the American states because it's an obvious remedy to a very common problem.
But Don mentioned an interesting point, Phil, about. Well, lately, when Don's been taking the car back, the dealer's been saying, we're not getting reimbursed for this additional service from the manufacturer. They've cut us off.
Yeah, that's right. And interestingly enough, one of the first laws that was passed, actually, I mean, it was a judgment from the Supreme Court. It was called Kravitz versus GM. It was one of the first ones that I had worked on, and that was about 40 years ago. And it says that the dealer and manufacturer are jointly responsible for any of these defects. Before, they would kind of hand you over to each one, and you would be playing, ping pong with them. And effectively, the Supreme Court of Canada, our court, said, no, you can't do that. You're both responsible.
Jointly responsible to make sure this thing somehow works.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don, thank you very much for telling us that horrible story. That's very indicative of the kind of problems you can have today with all of the sophisticated equipment. Sure, it's not rusty, but if it won't run, who cares?
Sudden acceleration, sudden stopping, stalling, and problems with the stupid things like the head restraints, which are too far forward, and they push your neck into your chin into your chest. Oftentimes, people find that after they bought the car, and the dealers say, I'm sorry, but that's the way we make them.
Yeah, well, great. Are there more lemons? I mean, when you look at it, the big picture, are there more lemons out there now because of these new developments and new technology than there were back in the old days?
I think the industry's gotten better. I think that because of the Asians and then the South Koreans as well. But it's not a question of how frequent it is or the volume. It's the cost which has changed the whole importance of this. It's just before you could repair the transmission and the engine for a few thousand dollars. Now you're looking at thousands upon thousands of dollars, and that's what makes it really worse.
Well, then the dealer is holding you hostage because only the dealer can work on some of these complicated systems in them, and your neighborhood mechanic, who might be a great mechanic, can't get near it because he's not allowed to have the tools, the electronic programs necessary to fix the thing.
Well, that's right, and they throw their hands up in frustration because these computers are, once again, they can only be read by certain machines with certain software. And look, you're putting computers, so sensitive as they are, in a hostile environment where you have so much vibration and heat and cold and wet. And finally, they're just bound to fail. But once again, trying to get good service and trying to make sure it's paid for by the manufacturer and dealer, either jointly or separately, is really a chore. It's very difficult.
But, I mean, here are the big auto, at least the domestic auto industry. And in the U.S., they have to go along with these lemon laws. They must be, I mean, it's not as if they don't understand how the lemon laws would work. I guess the Canadian branches just feel that they're pretty lucky because they haven't had to deal with it yet.
You're exactly right. They are so fearful, our Canadian companies or manufacturers, that our government will push some of the things that have been around for years in the States in order to protect consumers.
Yeah.
That they would prefer just to not even represent their point of view. The Senate wanted them to go up, our Canadian Senate, and explain why cars were costing about 20% more made in Canada.
Yeah.
And the auto dealers just refused to go up and meet with the senators.
Nope, not going to do that.
No.
Phil, thanks very much. Let's keep on this case and see if we can't get that lemon law for Ontario.
Yeah, I'll see you during the auto show.
Okay, see you then.
Bye-bye.
Drive carefully.
Thank you.
All right. I hope your car doesn't stop on the road somewhere and you don't know what it is. Phil's pretty good, though, picking cars, I think. Okay, Phil Edmonston talking about a lemon law. Why don't we have one in Ontario? As soon as we get a legislature again, I think that would be a reasonable question to be asking. If they can have these in all of the American states, why can they not have them in all of the provinces here in Canada?
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.